Okay, so today's sugya is doing mitzvos lishma or shalal lishma. I called it kiyum mitzvos miyir of av, but really the better title for it would have been doing mitzvos shalal lishma. Why is this related to Masech Sanhedrin? Because on Daf Kuf Hey Amud Beis in Masech Sanhedrin, the Gemara quotes the statement that it has in Pesachim and Daf Nun as well, and that is that a person should always do Torah mitzvos afalpi shalal lishma shemitoch shalal lishma balishma. Now, what's unique in Sanhedrin is that the Gemara gives an example from Balak, that he brought all these karbanos that were lalishma, and sofo was bali de lishma, that in the end of the day, it worked out really well because Rus descended from him. So there's this maila, an apparent maila, of doing a mitzvah shalolishma. So I want to discuss a little bit today that concept of when is it okay to do a mitzvah shalolishma, when is it not okay. But let's start, before we get to shalolishma, let's start with the statement of the Chayyadam. Klal Samaches Os Yudches. Klal Samaches of the Chayyadam is where the Chayyadam discusses all the rules relating to mitzvos, the rules of Zrizus and Osik Mitzvah, anything that you could that any major rule that goes across Shas that relates to a mitzvah. To mitzvos in general, not to a specific mitzvah, but to mitzvos in general, Chayyadam discusses in Klal Samaches. My brother Shlita wrote an entire sefer on Chayyadam Klal Samaches, dafka on that klal and all of these rules, called Nasiach B'chukecha, and much of the material, not all, but much of the material that we're going to say today is from my brother sefer. So Chayyadam writes, source of one, Sheyasenem Yira. Vafilu mitzvos hamuskalos kmo tzedaka v'kibra v'gezel v'arayos shein varm shaseichel mechayev lo yaseno yazvena machma shaseichel mechayev ale yaseno yazvena avur yiras Hashem shutziva al zeh. Meaning, even mitzvos that make sense, don't do them because they make sense. Don't avoid stealing because it's immoral to steal. Don't honor your parents because that seems like the right and decent thing to do. Rather, don't steal because God said not to steal and you are fearful of God. Honor your parents because God said you should honor your parents and you are fearful of God. You have Yirah Shamayim. And he quotes in parentheses, "Kdi Isa al yom radam I efshi bechazir ela efshi vavi shebeshamayim tziva alai." Person should not have the attitude that aveira is disgusting to me, or that mitzvah is so wonderful to me. Rather, a person should have the attitude that the aveira actually seems really geshmak, but I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that I'm going to overcome my yetzer hara for that seemingly delicious aveira in order to serve the Ribbono Shel. That the more healthy of the two attitudes is to say, I wish I could do that aveira, but because of my Yirah Shamayim, I'm not going to do that aveira. Now that itself is a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim already. Is it really better? I mean, let's say you had a person who says, he gives the example of basur chazir, that of two people who don't eat chazir, one of them who doesn't eat chazir because he has no interest in chazir, he finds it disgusting, because he says, if God commanded, I just find it disgusting. Another person doesn't eat chazir, not because he finds it disgusting, but because Hashem commanded, he really, really wants it, but Hashem commanded him not to. So who's the better of the two people? Says Chayyadam, that example clearly, the Gemara tells us, I mean the Medrash tells us, Rashi and Chumash quotes it also, clearly the second of those two people is the better person. The one who says, I really wish I could do it, but I'm not going to do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands me to do it. But let's change the case a little. Let's take a different aveira. Let's not take Basur Chazir. Let's take a case of murder. Let's say a person says, you know, the idea of, or let's say cannibalism, right? Let's say both, combination, murdering people and eating them. The idea of murdering people and eating them is so enticing to me. I love that idea. It sounds like a great idea, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me that I'm not supposed to do it, so therefore I'm not going to murder people and eat them. So you have that guy, or you have a guy who says, ew, terrible, gross, murder someone and eat them? That's a horrible thing. Which one of these two people is the better person? Would you still say the better person is the one who says that I really wish I could... Forget about who's the better person. Your daughter brings a guy home and says, this is the man I'm going to marry, and you start talking to him, and you start, you know, trying to get a sense of who he is and what he's all about, and he's like, you know what? people are just delicious. I wish I could murder and eat people. But you know what? I'm such a from a yid. I fight that typhus. Don't worry about it. I fight the yitzhar hara. I've overcome that yitzhar hara. I fight it every day of my life, no matter how delicious it is. So does that make you more comfortable or less comfortable than a person who thinks that murder is terrible and he doesn't want to commit murder? I mean, this is a really, the example he gives is not so troubling, but the when you start applying it to other mitzvos, it becomes a little bit more troubling. So how are we to take this statement of Chazal that Rashi quotes on Chumash and Chayei Adam quotes over here? Judah?
Is there a difference between what's a better person and what gets more star?
Ah, very good. So we'll get back to that. Good. So the Rambam in Shmona Prakim quotes a very interesting machlokas. It's an interesting machlokas in that the two sides of the machlokas are not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's not Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda. It's not even the Rambam and the Ravid. The two sides of the machlokas, the Rambam says, are the pilosofim and the chachamim. A machlokas between the philosophers and Chazal. The Rambam says that there's a stira between the way the philosophers view the world and the way Chazal view the world. Because the philosophers write that the highest maila a person can get to is when good things come naturally to him. When bad things are things that he abhors and he doesn't want to have anything to do with. That's a much greater maila than someone who has to overcome a yetzer hara to take something good, to do something good. A much greater maila is that of course I want good. It's so part of my personality. My personality has become one that yearns for goodness and rejects badness. So that's the greatest maila. To become such a person is the greatest maila. That's how the philosophers say. The Chachamim, however, he says, say the opposite. That someone who is misavel avedos, mishtokek lahen, yoser tov, v'yoser shalem, ma'asher lo yisavel lahen. The better person is the person who wants to do the Averos, who wishes he could do the Averos, but doesn't do the Averos, versus the person who totally rejects the Averos. And that's why Chazal say, Kol ha-gadol mechavero, yitzro gadol mimenu, that the greater person has the greater yetzer hara, not that the greater person loses the yetzer hara. He overcomes the yetzer hara. Adraba, his yetzer hara is even greater, and that's what makes him great. The fact that he battles the yetzer hara that's even bigger is what makes him so special, is what makes the person very great. So I would have said, okay, philosophers are brilliant and Chazal are correct and brilliant, so we go with Chazal over the philosophers. Simple machlokas in Judaism, you're going to take Chazal over the philosophers 10 out of 10 times, right? So the Rambam says, nah, it's a stira, and they're both right, so there's got to be something up here. So we have to make something of this. They both have to be right. So what's going on? So says the Rambam, it's as follows. Ulufiya muvan mi pashte shnei advarim betchilas samachshava hare shnei ma'amarim sosim zeza. At first glance, it seems that it's a contradiction between these two ma'amarim. But ve'ein hadavar kein, he says it's not true that this is a contradiction between the philosophers and Chazal. Elo shneim emes. No, they're both absolutely true. Ve'ein b'neim machlokas klal. There is no machlokas whatsoever. Vizeh, and this is how to view it. Shaharos asher hein eitzel apilusofim ra'os. When philosophers talk about bad, are they talking about eating chazer? Are they talking about eating nevela? Are they talking about basav chalav? When philosophers say bad behavior, evil things, what are they talking about? What do they refer to? What? Killing, stealing, morally bad things. Things that you don't need a Torah to tell you that there's something wrong with it, that any moral person realizes that these are evil things. When the Chachamim speak about bad things, now typically it could be speaking about killing also, when Chachamim say bad, or eating nevelo, or being mechal Shabbos. But look at the examples Rashi quotes. Look at the examples Chazal gave when they speak about bad things. They speak about eating chazer, eating nevela, that a person shouldn't say efshi. Says the Rambam, therein lies the answer. When you're dealing with something that is morally bad, that a philosopher would recognize as bad, so the highest maila is to get to the point where you don't have any taiva for that. A good person doesn't have a taiva to do things that are morally bad. There's something off kilter in your neshama if you desire to kill people and eat them. There's something off. There's something not right about that. And the good person doesn't desire to steal, doesn't desire... The good person abhors such behavior. However, when Chazal were talking about how the better person is the one who has taivas, who has the Yetzer Hara for these things, and manages to overcome the Yetzer Hara, lufum tsara agra, based on how difficult it is for him to overcome that Yetzer Hara, that's how great he is, that's how we measure his greatness. So that's talking about things that we need the Torah to tell us, that we would not have known on our own, that we require the Torah's clarification that something like this is asur. And that's the difference between the two statements of the philosophers and the statement of Chazal. And therefore, the Rambam says, problem solved. Yeah.
Let's say you had a case where someone is not on the highest level for those moral things, so they do have a time limit, let's say, still. But then they hold back, so they have to be able to use the object. They shouldn't have had that time to begin with, but they did.
So it would seem that, according to the Rambam, in that situation, we would not say Lufum Tzara Agra. We would say, no, it would be better had they not had. They would get greater schar if they would have worked on their personalities to the point that they wouldn't have had that taiva than having that taiva and overcoming it. The only time where you get greater schar for having a taiva and overcoming it is when it's not something moral, it's just something Torah-related. That's what it seems from the Rambam. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, source number 4, Hagos Yaivitz, someone has a bigger yitzhar definitely gets more schar. You fight a war with the Yetzer Hara, you fight a battle with the Yetzer Hara, and you win, you're victorious over the Yetzer Hara. He says that has to be, that's big, that has to be the source of very great schar. Elu vadei ru'uyim l'schar atzum nifla yasar harbe mimi shoket vosatov b'menucha mibli oyev me'ein satan mesis madiach. Says it has to be that no matter what kind of mitzvah or avera we're talking about, if you overcame your Yetzer Hara, so that's a heroic act. You had to put up a fight. The Yetzer Hara was very strong, and you overcome it. That's heroic. That's absolutely heroic, he says. It can't be that that's a lower level than someone who just, you know, rolls out of bed in the morning and manages to not do any averus because he just has no desire for it. Like someone without any taste buds or something, that can't taste any food, has no desire to eat the cheeseburger. Well, that's going to be a great schar because he has no, he does not, it all tastes the same to him anyway, so it's a great schar that he doesn't eat nevela. Nah. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the greatest schar is when you have a yitzhar har for something, when you fight the yitzhar har for something, whether it be stealing, whether it be eating nevela, it doesn't matter if we're talking about something moral or something not moral. What about the philosophers? The philosopher said the greater schar is, the greater person is, the one who develops his personality. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the philosophers are not B'nai Torah, and we listen to Chazal. Chazal were B'nai Torah. Philosophers are antithetical to Torah. So nothing to talk about. He doesn't agree with the Rambam. Now, there is this concept that fighting a Yetzer Hara, fighting a Yetzer Hara makes you greater, even on things that are moral issues. We have a tradition that Tiferes Yisrael quotes at the end of Maseches Kiddushin. Have you ever seen this Tiferes Yisrael? It's one of the more wild Tiferes Yisraels. He quotes from some unknown source. I think Shneur Lyman has a whole lecture on what the actual source of this Tiferes Yisrael is. But he quotes from an unknown source that some unknown medrash that there was a time where there was a king who heard about Moshe Rabbeinu and heard about his prowess and how he led the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and how he was a tzaddik and an amazing person, and he had people who were great artists who knew how to draw people very well, and he had other people who were face readers. They could look at someone's face and see if they were good people or bad people. So he figured he would try to get to the root of what Moshe Rabbeinu was. So he sent artists to go draw Moshe Rabbeinu, and the artist came back and he had his face readers read the pictures of Moshe Rabbeinu. And face readers said, oh, whoever this guy is a manuvel, he's a lowlife, he has a terrible Yetzer Hara, he's this and that, all these horrible things they said about him, a ganav and a balarayos, etc. And he said, uh-oh, somebody's lying here, because either the artist never met him and they just drew some picture of somebody, you know, and they lied to me and they told me that they met him, or my face readers are a bunch of charlatans. They don't know what they're talking about. So he decided he's going to go for himself and see for himself, and he'll look. If he sees Moshe Rabbeinu and he matches up with the picture, he'll know that the problem is in his face readers. And if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't match up with the picture, he'll know the problem is within his artist. So he goes and he sees, and Moshe Rabbeinu looks exactly like he does in the picture. So he's ready to kill all of his face readers. But instead, he first asks Moshe Rabbeinu. He decides to go over to him. He says, you know, I got to tell you what happened. Maybe you'll give me Eitza. All the people I trusted that give me advice about which countries to attack and who to trust, who not to trust. And you know, all these people, I think they're all charlatans now. They all lied to me. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, they're not telling a lie. That is who I am. That is my nature. That's my teva. My teva is tevi yetzar for geneva and tevi yetzar for arayos. To be all sorts of terrible things. My godless is in overcoming that teva and overcoming that yetzar hara. Again, similar to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that even for things that are moral, that are simple moral issues, and we would have known even without the Torah telling us, it's better, the heroism of Moshe Rabbeinu is evident in that he overcame a yetzar hara for that. Not that he doesn't have a yetzar hara for it, but that he fights that yetzar hara, he defeats that yetzar hara. However, I think there's a simpler answer to explain the difference between the philosophers. Perhaps one can suggest a different answer to explain the difference between the philosophers and Chazal, and even Rabbi Yaakov Emden could agree with this one. There's a difference between what you get more schar for and what you'd want your daughter to marry. Understand? Meaning there's a difference between a situation, I think Judah was referring to this before. Yes, if you have terrible yetzer haras for all sorts of immoral things, and you fight those yetzer haras, and every day is a battle, l'fum tzara agra, you get great schar. Whether they are mitzvos that make sense or mitzvos that don't make sense to the human mind, doesn't matter. You fight a yetzer hara every single day, you get great schar for that. Does that mean you're a better person? That you are inherently a better person? No, you're getting rewarded because even though you're not such a good person, you are overcoming that yetzer hara. Ideally, you should try to become a person who doesn't have to battle that yetzer hara. It is what Rav Dessler calls the nekudas habechira. You should move over your nekudas habechira to the point where it's not even an issue anymore to discuss whether you're going to do certain averos, because you've totally overcome it. That's not something that you do anymore. That would make you a better person. What are you going to get more schar for? Each battle that you win, l'fum tzara agra, you get schar for the battle. So it's not necessarily so that you even need to necessarily be mechayim. I mean, the Rambam makes this chiluk, but one could have theoretically suggested, not like the chiluk of the Rambam, a simpler chiluk, a chiluk in the difference between getting great schar and being a great person, and being an inherently great person. Okay, that's what my brother suggested, I think, in his sefer. Now, what about mitzvah shelo lishma? This is our primary topic. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Tainis. Well, we had our Gemara, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun Amud Beis that Amar Avido Merav lo olam yasek adam Torah mitzvah safki shelo lishma shemitok shelo lishma balishma. Better if you can't bring yourself to do a mitzvah lishma, so do it shelo lishma, and then ultimately one day it will come to lishma. Says the Gemara in Maseches Tainis Daf Zayin. Says the Gemara, "Kala osik b'Torah l'shma, Torah sanas lo sam chayim." A person is osik b'Torah l'shma, so his Torah becomes like a sam chayim. It becomes like an elixir of life, right? It's something that's very helpful for a person's life. Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba. However, kala osik b'Torah shelo l'shma, nas is lo sam hamavos. So a big problem here. The Gemara in Tanya says clearly that if you learn Torah shelo l'shma, it's like taking poison. Sounds like if you just read this Gemara, if you have a choice, either don't go to the Beis Medrash today, or go to the Beis Medrash and learn Shalom Lishma. You can't bring yourself to the Lishma, but you know that if you go to the Beis Medrash, you can get a better Shidduch, or your parents are going to be proud of you, or you know the other guys are going to look up to you, whatever it is. It's some sort of ulterior motive, some sort of Shalom Lishma. Is it better not to show up, or better to show up and learn Shalom Lishma? According to this Gemara, seems very clear. Is it better to not eat anything at all, or better to eat poison? Well, certainly better to eat nothing at all. Better not to show up to the Beis Medrash. Yet you have the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, that li'olam yasek adam Torah mitzvah avdi shelo lishma. They should always learn shelo lishma. Do it. Keep learning shelo lishma. No one learns lishma at the beginning. Learn shelo lishma, and ultimately it will become lishma. How do we get into learning when we're kids? How do the teachers get us into learning? How do the Rebbeim get us excited about learning? They give us candy, sodas. They bribe us. So what? We're learning lishma. We're learning because we love Hashem and His Torah. No, we're learning because we're being bribed. So that's terrible chinuch. We should avoid that entirely, because a person has to learn only lishma and shouldn't be bribed by any of this. No, we assume that it's good to learn shalol lishma. And even if you're already old, the bribes change when you get older. The Rambam writes this. Now, when you're younger, the bribe is candy. You get a little older, the bribe is money. You get a little older, the bribe is covered. You know, the bribes constantly change. But it's the same thing. The bribe is still the bribe. You're learning because you're being promised great things. So is that bad? Should we not engage in such learning? So this is the stira that all of the Rishonim are bothered by. Another Gemara that sheds a little bit of light on this sort of takes a parav path. The Gemara in Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel, talks about Yesharim Darkei Hashem. Pasuk says in Hosea that the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are righteous. Tzadikim Yelchubam, the Tzadikim go in the ways of Hashem, Poshim Yikashlubam. And the Poshim, the sinners, stumble in the ways of Hashem. Mashal Shnei Bnei Adam, so says the Gemara, what does this pasuk mean? It's like two people, Shetzalu Es Pischeihem, that rose to Karban Pesach. Echad achlo l'shum mitzvah, v'echad achlo l'shum achila gasa. One of them eats the Karban Pesach l'shem mitzvah, and the other one eats it for the sake of achila gasa. What's achila gasa? He's hungry. He likes food. He likes lamb chops. That's Karban Pesach. It's lamb. Good. So zechad achlo l'shum mitzvah, tzadikim yelchubam. Feed it l'shum mitzvah, tzadik. Great. You're doing it l'shma. V'zech achlo l'shum achila gasa, u'poshim yikash l'ubam. Well, the Shem Achila Gasa is a posheya. Terrible. Sounds like the Gemara in Tainus, right? Then says the Gemara, wait a second. Amle Rish Lakish, hi Rasha Karisalei. How could you call the guy a Rasha? He's doing a mitzvah. He's eating Karban Pesach. Nihid the low kavod mitzvah min amuvchar. Pesach mi ha-kavod. Look, is he as good as the Lishma guy? No, but he's doing good. Sounds like the Gemara in Psachim, Sanhedrin. Right, so it sounds like the Gemara Nazir is a havamin and a maskana, or you could say machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about this very issue: is shalol lishma being a posheya, being a rasha, doing a mitzvah shalol lishma, or is it not the best but better than no mitzvah at all? Oh, that's big. If it's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, then you could paskin in the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, meaning all of the attempts that the Rishonim have, which we're soon going to see, to reconcile the two sugyas and say, nah, there's no machlokas between Pesachim and Tainus. It's all the same. This is talking about this kind of shloshma, that's talking about that kind of shloshma. Whatever terutz we can come up with, is it even necessary to come up with a terutz? Maybe it's not necessary. Maybe the halacha is what, like one sugya or the other. It's machlokas asugyas. Right? We see that this machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish, along very similar lines. So let's see, how did the Rishonim deal with this? So Tosis in Pesachim says he doesn't ask for the Gemara in Tainus, but he asks for the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, says that anyone who learns Torah shelo lishma, noach lo shelo nivra. He'd be better off if he wasn't created. Which means, is shelo lishma pariv or is shelo lishma worse than pariv? Sounds worse. Better not to be created. Better not to have never been born. Sounds like shelo lishma is bad. Right? Says Tosos, you got to say two different types of shalol lishma. There's shalol lishma, I want a good shidduch, I want people to respect me, I want the money, I want the covet, I want the candy. Right? There's that kind of shalol lishma. That's the good kind of shalol lishma. But then there's the bad kind of shalol lishma. Lehisyahir lekanter. I want to be able to argue with everything Chazal say, so I'm going to study those psukim really well, and I'm going to come up with my own interpretations, and I'm going to show how they misunderstood all the psukim, and I'm going to show. Right, I want to argue. I just want to cause trouble. I want to be a rabble rouser. I want to, something like that. So some sort of very negative intention shalol lishma, not an intention shalol lishma that has intentions that aren't the most noble, but intentions that are clearly negative and destructive. Such a shalol lishma is better not doing at all than doing the mitzvah shelo lishma. So that's how Tosfos mechalek. Now it's interesting, Sfasemis points out, he should have asked from Tainis, because the kasha from Brachos is not necessarily such a great kasha. What does the Gemara in Brachos say? That anyone who learns Torah shelo lishma is better for him not to have been created. Let's say someone doesn't learn Torah at all. Is it better for him not to have been created? Or better for him to have been created? So, deep philosophical question, right? The Gemara talks about this in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is a question. Is it Noach lo adam shenivra or Noach lo adam shelo nivra? Someone once asked me to talk about birthdays in Halacha. So there aren't any Halachos of birthdays. The closest Gemara I could think of was that Gemara. Is it worth celebrating? Coming into this world? Are we better off coming into this world or are we better off not coming into this world? The Gemara raises the question. So the Gemara comes to the Maskana. Noach lo adam shelo nivra. Person's better off never having come into this world. But if you do mitzvahs and you're a tzaddik, then it's noach lo shenivra. So if you don't do the mitzvah, you're parav, you're a regular guy. Noach lo shelo nivra. Stam people better not have been created. So what does the Gemara in Brachos say? If you learn shelo lishma, you're better off not having been created. Does that necessarily tell me that shelo lishma is worse than not learning at all? If I don't learn at all, I'm also better off not having been created. Right? That's what the Gemara is maskana is. If I don't learn at all, I'm also better off not having been created. So maybe the chiddush of the Gemara in Brachos is that even if you learn shelo lishma, which is better than no learning at all, it still doesn't rise to the level of better off being created. You're still better off not being created. That's Hashem's deal. I thought it was unbelievable. Very strong kasha. What's Tosfos' big kasha over here? Vitzarech Lomar, he says Tosfos must have made a diuk in the lashon, the way the Gemara said it, because if learning shelo lishma and not learning at all are both ki'ilu, you're better off you're not having been created. If that were the point the Gemara was making, that both of them are better off not having been created, then the Gemara should not have said learning shelo lishma is better off not having been created. The Gemara should have said anyone who doesn't learn lishma, that includes who? Someone who learns shelo lishma, and it also includes someone who doesn't learn at all. That's what the Gemara should have said. Anyone who doesn't learn lishma is noach lo shelo nivra. Doesn't say it like that though. So maybe that's Tosfos' deal, that it must be that learning shelo lishma is worse than not learning at all. Okay, that's how Tosfos deals with the problem, with the contradiction. Sfasemes suggests in Maseches Tainis that maybe when you're also with Torah Lishma, the Torah becomes like a Sam Chayim. It's great for you. Meaning the Torah helps you overcome Yetzer Hara, it helps you, it's an Eitz Chayim in the Machazikim Ba. When you're Osik B'Torah Shelo Lishma, use it as a Kardom Lach Korba, etc., it's still good, but it doesn't give you that same protection. And therefore, meaning like this, let's say you're sick with a terrible, Rachman al-San, a person sick with a terrible illness, and there's a medicine available, and they take a different medicine, one that doesn't work. So they might as well have taken poison. Right? If they have an illness that's killing them, and they fail to take the one medicine that works, so it's ki'ilu, they're taking poison. They eat a delicious steak dinner. That steak may as well have been poisoned. Does that mean steak is bad? No, because the steak is not inherently poison. It's just their failure to take the medicine is what was the poison. So says Fasemis, maybe that's the pshat. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesach, Maseches Sanhedrin, learn shelo lishma is better than not learning at all. Of course it's better than not learning at all. Eating a steak is better than eating nothing. It's at least tastes good, right? It's good. But it's a sam hamaves, the Gemara in Taina says. Why is it a sam hamaves? Because you have a yetzer hara, and the only way to defeat the yetzer hara is by learning Torah. Brasi yetzer hara, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, according to the Gemara in a couple of places, brasi lo Torah tavlin. The Torah is the antidote. So if you fail to learn Lishma, you're failing to take the only medication that's going to work. So may as well be Sama Mavas. That's how Shasemusan says. Not that there's anything inherently wrong with Torah Shal Lishma. Adrabah. Torah Shal Lishma is a good thing. It's better than a zero. But it's failure to take your medicine. And on that level, it's negative. A third approach to reconcile. Rav Avadia Yosef, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Anaf Eitz Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, quotes the Gemara in Brachos, another Gemara. Gemara tells us when Rabbi Zeira got sick or got too weak to learn anymore, so what's he going to do with his time? He can't learn. He doesn't have the koach to learn. So he would go and sit by the Beis Medrash of Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi. And he said, when people come in, when the Chachamim come in and out of the Beis Medrash, I'll stand for them. Va'akabel schar, and I'll get schar for standing for them. Frakt Rav Avadia, how is he allowed to do mitzvahs just to be makabel schar? What do you mean va'akabel schar? Say I'll do a mitzvah. Akabel schar? You need the schar? I thought the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us you're not supposed to be mishamish esrav al menas lekabel pras. Person should not be like an eved, is mishamish only al menas lekabel pras. So what's this great thing akabel schar? So says Rav Avadia v'nira l'tari tzal pi mashakasav marash primo sha'af al pisha osa mitzvah chiyuvis kisidra tzarech la'asosa shalom al menas lekabel pras aval im hu poter mimena u'mechayiv esatzma la'asosa mitzvah muter. Interesting chiluk. If you're dealing with something that you're not chayiv to do in the first, if you're dealing with something that you have to do anyway, you're mechayiv to do. It's not a situational mitzvah. You have to eat matzah and pesach, whether you're, whatever town you're in, or whatever you. It's a chiyuv. It's a mitzvah chiyuv. It's not something that you that depends on the situation. So then you have to do it lishma. You have to do it shalom al menas lekabel pras. You have to do it for the right reasons, just to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when the mitzvah is something that you didn't even have to be in the situation where you'd become chayiv, you put yourself in that situation and generated the chayiv by putting yourself in that situation, well then you could do it to be mekabel schar. What does it say? Ficha chir ben Torah mitzvah shneva Hashem chafetz mitzvah yag ben Torah v'yadi ratzak rosh baruch hu lezakos Yisrael. Hashem wanted to be good to us, so he gives us more mitzvahs. So when we give ourselves more mitzvahs than we actually needed for the sake of getting schar, so that's good. That's fine. We're allowed to do that. So what did he do? What's the halacha? When a Talmud Chacham walks by, you stand up. There's a Talmud Chacham walking by somewhere in the world right now. Why do I not have to stand up? Because the halacha is, you stand up when a Talmud Chacham walks by, you, where you are. So if I stayed in bed all day, and I didn't get out of my room, so there are no Talmidei Chachamim prancing across my room, right? So I would never have to stand up. I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah. Was it a bittul mitzvah? Of course not. To dafka go to a place where there are Talmidei Chachamim always walking, I'm putting myself in a situation where I become a chayiv in the mitzvah. That you're allowed to do, even al menas lekabel pras. And he says, that answers the kasha of Taisus in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, if you give money to tzedakah and you say, I'm giving this money al menas shiyichya b'ni, or al menas al bizoch l'chay olam haba. The Gemara says, there is a tzaddik gomor. Aye, but nan al tiyuka avadim ha-msham shem surav al menas l'kabal pras. How could you say it's a tzaddik gomor? You're not supposed to do things for the sake of receiving reward. Maybe there are two types of tzedakah. Some type of tzedakah where it's a chiyuv. Where is it a chiyuv that you must give? And the ani presents himself to you and you happen to have money and he says, please give, I'm desperate, I need. So then you have to give. So it's a chiyuv. But no one's at your door. No one's asking for money. You already covered your meiser requirements, let's say. And you decide, I'm an ashiyach yibini, I'm going to give a little extra. So you put yourself in that position. So mela, you're allowed to do shalom l'shma, and hariz it tzaddik gamur, and that's fine. Very interesting chiluk. I never saw this anywhere else. This chiluk that Rav Avadia has. He says that also explains the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara tells us Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonasan. It's great thing Rav Avadia. He'll go through all the shas and he'll tell you how it works with everything. Did I tell you that story? I was watching the Israeli television piece on Rav Avadia Yosef. They had an interview with an Israeli government official, a non-religious guy, a Chiloni, who had to meet Rav Avadia for something. And he said he didn't like Rav Avadia, you know, but he had to go to meet him. And he walked into Rav Avadia's apartment, and Rav Avadia knew this guy didn't like him, so he wanted to blow him away, he wanted to impress him. So Rav Avadia says, there were 30,000 books in Rav Avadia's house. And Rav Avadia says, take any book off the shelf. So the guy goes to some corner somewhere and pulls one book off the shelf. He says, open up to any page. He opens up to a page, he says, okay, what book, what page? The guy says, this book, page Shin Mem Gimel, whatever. So Rav Avadia, the guy says, the guy on Israeli television, this Chiloni guy says, I swear to you, he repeated every word on the page, Baal Peh, from the beginning to the end. One of 30,000 books. This is Rav Avadia. He has an unusual brain. It's not normal. So Rav Avadia says, the Gemara, so Shas, and that's not, you know, that's the beginning of what he knows. Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara tells us Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonasan were walking along the road, and they got to two paths, and one was Pasuach to a gathering of Avodah Zarah, and the other one to house of prostitution. So one of them said, you know, let's go by the Beis Zonos, and then we'll overcome our Yetzer Hara in the Kaval Schar. Great plan, right? Let's go right into the heart of the Yetzer Hara, of the Taivas, and we'll overcome the Yetzer Hara, and then we'll get Schar. Why are you allowed to? First of all, if your whole plan is to get Schar, is that even a good thing to do? Does it even work? Don't you have to do Mitzvah Shlishma? Shalom Nas Kaval Pras? Says Rav Avadia, no. If they would have happened to have been encountered Al Karcham, some sort of Yetzer Hara, then they have to overcome it, stam, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But since they're putting themselves in that position, mele they're allowed to do it to be Mekabel Schar. Now, how wise that is for an average person is a different matter, right? We bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, that he shouldn't bring us loli de nisayon. We don't want nisyonos. We have enough nisyonos in life. We don't look for extra nisyonos. So the wisdom of it is not something that we're discussing right now. What we're discussing is, do you get schar? Can you, when you're doing it, al menas lekabel pras, do you actually get schar? Now, this shir would not be even close to complete, even though, again, I'm over my time, but the shir would not even be close to complete without at least mentioning the Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Halacha Hey, and Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud, so we can take a look at 14 in the Talmud Torah. Rambam writes, Tchilas dino shel adam eino nido nela al Talmud v'achar kach al shar maisav. Person first, after 120 years, is going to have to deal with questions about learning and then about everything else. L'ficha chamru chachamim l'olam yasak adam b'torah b'en l'shma b'en shalol l'shma sh'mitok shalol l'shma b'ol l'shma. What does Rambam do? He says you should learn Torah shalol l'shma. What does he not say? Mitzvahs. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Pesachim, mitzvahs. Rambam says Torah. Okay, because it's in Hilchos Talmud Torah, so of course it says Torah. Maybe elsewhere, where if he mentions it somewhere else, maybe then he'll mention mitzvahs as well. Zok the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, 10th Perek. Kol osik b'Torah kedei lekabel schar kedei shelo tegia lav paranos hareza osik shelo l'shma. What does Ram talk about? Torah, not mitzvahs. That's a problem. So Rav Moshe suggests in the tshuva, fascinating tshuva to read for other reasons, but we don't have time for it now. Discussed the Gemara in the Darim about Alma of the Haaretz, whatever. But Rav Moshe said maybe the Rambam must have had a different girsa. It's not Petoru b'mitzvos, but Petoru b'midos. Okay, so it's not about mitzvos. Maybe. The Rav Shulchan Aruch says that, no, one might have thought that with Torah, it accomplishes nothing to learn Shalol Lishma. Because what does it mean, Shalol Lishma? It means you're learning without the plan of actually doing mitzvahs. You plan on learning without following through, and you're learning and doing mitzvahs without learning. And since the whole kunst of Talmud Torah is to learn Lilmon Amanas Lasos, so if you are learning Shalosh Shema, you don't plan on Lasos. So one might have thought that that's worthless. So the Rambam is mechadish to us that even Torah, where you might have mitzvah Shalosh Shema, I wear tefillin Shalosh Shema, fine. At least I still wore tefillin. But Torah Shalosh Shema, if the whole kunst of learning is Lilmon Amanas Lasos, and then I don't do, so then I would think that it's worthless. So the Rambam's Mechadish, no, it's still worth something. It's still good. Because it will bring you to the Shema. And then, of course, there's the famous Teretz of the Agli Tal in the Sakdama, that this Ram L'Shitasa, the Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana. So Shalol L'Shema would be bad by mitzvahs because it's a violation of Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana. But Talmud Torah definitely doesn't need Kavana. Mele by Talmud Torah, you can do Shalosh Shema. So when the Gemara says Torah u'mitzvos, it's assuming mitzvos ain't shrichs kavana. But since we pass the mitzvos, shrichs kavana, so therefore it only applies to Torah, it doesn't apply to mitzvos. Because Torah definitely does not need kavana, it's other mitzvos that are shrichs kavana. Now what you see in these three approaches to how to deal with the Rambam is three very different definitions of the word Shalosh Shema. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav assumed Shalosh Shema meant I'm doing the mitzvah not for ulterior motives, but just with no plans of following through and actually doing mitzvahs based on the Torah that I'm learning. Tosos understood Shalol Shema, the bad kind of Shalol Shema, is L'Kavod, L'Kanter, right? Something like that. Well, the good kind is L'Kavod, the bad kind is L'Kanter, but it's for ulterior motives. The Agli Tal understood Shalol Shema is just not Kavanah, not Kavanah, it's Sofer Kavosh Baruch Hu. Shalol Shema is not with negative Kavanahs, it's with no Kavanah. And I'm not intending to Sofer Kavosh Baruch Hu. So depending on how you define Shalol Lishma will lead to different approaches in how to understand the Rambam. Okay, there's obviously a lot more to do, but we're out of time, so we'll stop here.
If you combine the Mitzvah Shalol Lishma and Bal Lishma with the